Encouraging every step, you're listening to Walk FM. My name is Kyle, and today I'm doing our Community Matters interview with Josh Lytle. He is the president of Family Care Ministries. And for those who haven't heard of your ministry yet, Josh, could you give us a little bit of an overview of what your ministry does?
Yeah, so Family Care, we exist, we're passionate about helping people overcome any life-controlling problems that they have. That could be drugs and alcohol, that could be depression, suicide, it could be abuse. We work with children all the way up to adults. And, the main goal is to see people be able to be set free from anything that they've experienced in life. It could have been a rough family growing up or some sort of trauma. It might have been a great family, but just made some really bad decisions. And we just help them get their life turned around. You know, everyone from government officials and police officers to people that live under bridges. You know, it affects all walks of life. Well, we have counseling, have life coaching. We have mentorship and accountability programs. We also have inpatient residential centers for those who might not be able to do it on an outpatient level. Maybe they need to come stay somewhere. We have two campuses, a men's campus in Ohio and a women's campus in West Virginia. And it's free of charge. They come, they stay there for 6 months, and they're discipled. They're taught their identity. They're taught how to have this newness that comes in Christ. As 2 Corinthians 5 says, you know, you're made totally new creations when you come to Christ. So we teach them that and really get them down to breaking the stereotypes that they're always going to be an addict or they're always going to be a product of their trauma. We'd like to break free from that and say, even though that happened, you don't have to be a product of that. You know, let us teach you how to live this Zoe life. We call it in Greek, the word Zoe means that God life, you know, that amazing kind of life that only God gives.
Okay. So you mentioned that your programs are faith-based. Are they similar to like a 12-step program that we've seen some of those before?
We have a little different approach. A lot of our stuff is experiential. You know, a lot of our staff members aren't necessarily licensed counselors, but they've lived it. They went through it. They experienced addiction. They experienced abuse and trauma. And they tried everything in the world to get out of it, and it just wasn't working. You know what I mean? So one of our classes, we do have a faith-based 12-step that we do in the prisons and in the jails. That they require something that's like the 12-step. Most of the time, we have I like to say a one-step approach. You know, you step on up to the cross, and God begins to change your life and set you free. But there's definitely a process that goes with that. So we have a lot of training. We're about to launch an online school of ministry, so anybody can log on and get that encouragement and that training that they may need in America.
That sounds good. Josh, as I was looking through a brochure that talked about your ministry and some of the things that you do, it mentions that there is an element of what you do that is about prevention. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, so with the prevention, it's a really big deal to me when I look back on my life. When did I start using drugs? When did that experience come for me? My dad was a pastor. I grew up in a really good home. I didn't see all the craziness and alcohol and drugs and cigarettes or nothing like that. You know what I mean? That I had a really good home, a really good upbringing, but I made a lot of really bad decisions because of my identity and because of my self-esteem and everything like that, man. So, really just from me experiencing that for so long, I really, really just didn't think there was much hope to live any different. You know what I'm saying? And was able to find different. So what we do is we use our own experience. We go into schools. We've been in front of 20,000 students that we've been able to do faith-based assemblies in front of them. You know, there's been a ton of different schools from Wheeling all the way through Ohio, down through all kinds of places, man. And we've been able to go in there. And like I said, I present that to them. This is faith-based. Everything I do is totally based around the word of God and that truth that's unchanging. And I had a guy that wasn't a believer that really helped me get that solidified. He said, you know, our kids are dying and I don't think it matters if it's working what's it matter what he talks about if it's going to save one of our kids? And, you know, and that's when about 3 years ago, we really started getting into the school systems. But we go to churches, we do services in all different kind of denomination churches from, you know, one extreme to the next. We go and we share our testimonies and our stories and talk with young people. And, you know, it's just, it's really important, I feel, to get them before they get to prison. You know, they get Bibles in jail. You get Bibles when you go to detoxes at hospitals. They bring faith into it every time there's a bad situation. But if we could get that faith into the schools before they end up in prison, you know, if we could give them before they're grown, and this is the habit of how they learned how to deal with their trauma in this negative way, whatever it could be, you know, we think it's so important to catch them before. Because I started using drugs at 11 years old. And the average person I work with is anywhere between 9 and 12 that started experimenting with drugs or tobacco or whatever it was that they started using. So, you know, it's just statistically, it's from my experience, so important to catch them while they're young and give them that hope that, you know, this isn't the route you have to go down.
Yeah. Do you find that it's difficult to get into schools when they know that you're faith-based?
Yeah. I mean, it everybody told me it was going to be impossible. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't ask anybody to come speak. I just did what I always do. I travel, I evangelize, I speak, I help individuals. And I got a phone call one time. And once we got in one school, they started calling from other schools. And then we've had about 25, 30 different schools that we've been to. So I thought it was going to be really, really tough. And honestly, it hasn't been. You know, it hasn't even been an issue. I've even had prayer with students in the assemblies afterwards. And it's been welcomed, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's great to hear. Josh, I didn't know prior to talking to you, but in talking to you, you were telling me that there was a documentary that was made about your organization. Can you tell me about that?
So in 2016, I met a filmmaker, and he heard about my testimony, and I had no clue who he was. And he just approached me and said, "Man, I heard you have a really powerful story. You know, I was never supposed to walk again. I was supposed to have 30-some years in prison. I just the life I lived, man, was absolutely like an episode off like Cops or something. You know, it didn't even seem real. It's only by the grace of God that I'm here, man. But we started, he said, you know, will you help me? Like, you're doing what you can do with your talents and your ability to help people. I'm a filmmaker. This is what I can do. And so we filmed for a whole year. You know, we filmed all of 2016. At that time, we were one of the worst in the nation for overdose rates. We had 72 overdoses in our community in 2016. They started leaning real heavily on us in 2017 in September, when we had 2 overdoses. So it went from 72 to 2, and that caught so much national attention. That's how the documentary ended up going to the White House, because the Attorney General and some others saw those statistics and said, every other community is quadrupling in overdoses. You know, we have one here that's not only went down, but went down by 70 deaths. And, you know, so that was a big deal. That really caught a lot of attention, and it helped. It allowed that documentary to go and help many people. So we're still getting calls about people that watch that film. It's called Gateway to Hope, Overcoming Heroin. You know, and I still got people, professors at colleges in Tennessee and Kentucky and different places that have called me and said, you know, we're going to use this in our classrooms. I got local high schools that played in their health classes so they can see about drugs and the effects of drugs and everything like that. So it's really been a great tool, and it was a privilege that Josh Minning, who's the filmmaker, decided to do it free of charge for us, you know, and put it out there just simply for the fact that it can help people.
Well, that's interesting. I'll have to check that out. Now, you mentioned earlier today that you guys have residential facilities in Ohio and West Virginia, and that you offer your services free of charge. And I know, being part of a nonprofit here at Walk FM, that even though you might offer something for free, it costs you something. So let me ask you, how do you make it happen? How is it supported?
Well, we're totally faith-based, man. So I've never got like a grant. One time the attorney general, when they seen those statistics, wanted to give a grant to the city. And in turn, every time we responded to a call that regarded opiates, they would reimburse X amount of dollars. But other than that, we've never got a grant or, you know, we're not charging these families out. You know, we say if they can help and they want to donate, they can. At one time I was working with 90 people per week and all of them free of charge, from the counseling sessions to the family help, all of it. So, and we still do that now. So, it's just churches and people from the past that we've helped, that their families have seen the change in their loved one and they get on board and support it. Or, you know, all of our giving is, we're on 501(c)(3), so it's tax deductible. And so a lot of people do it for a write-off, or just a lot of people just give a little bit a month, you know, and little as much when God is in it. So you have a lot of people that give a little bit, and it allows us to be able to do what we do.
Excellent. So if somebody wants to connect with you to learn more, or if they want to support what you guys are doing, how do they get in touch with you?
They can go to our website, which is seeinglivestransformed.com. And that's S-E-E-I-N-G, seeinglivestransformed.com. They can call us at 304-459-3728. And that's a number that someone will answer pretty much 24 hours a day. But they can go to our Facebook page. You know, we have all of our services streamed live on there, and a lot of our events and stuff like that are on our Facebook page, Family Care Ministries. So they can connect any of those ways.
All right, there you have it. I want to say thank you to Josh Lytle for being our special guest today. If you'd like to learn more about Family Care Ministries, of course, you can check out that documentary that he talked about, if you can hunt that down, called Gateway to Hope. You can also check them out online, seeinglivestransformed.com. Of course, if you missed any portion of today's interview, you can find it online at walkfm.org. Under the Connect tab, you'll just look for Community Matters. On Mondays, these episodes are also posted in long form in podcast form. Anywhere that you find your podcasts, just search for Walk FM Community Matters. If you are part of a church or an organization that's doing something to bless the community, I'd love to talk to you as well. Send me a message at communitymatters@walkfm.org, and who knows, maybe next time I'll be talking to you on our Community Matters interview. For now, my name is Kyle. You're listening to Walk FM, and I hope you're having a wonderful day.